From the newsroom at Performance Radio, this is local news on Dakota Country 1210 KOKK. I'm News Director Zach Nelson reporting. A decision on whether or not the Huron School District will be required to unseal and release the terms of an agreement made with former Superintendent Ross Opsahl sits with a judge in Huron. Huron School Board Chairman Tim Van Berkom read a statement from School Board member David Wheeler Monday night.
Based on our contractual obligation, we had appealed the hearing examiner's order requiring us to release the agreement with Mr. Opsahl to the Mitchell Daily Republic. The case is before Circuit Judge John Erickson. The parties have recently finished submitting their written arguments to the judge, and we are now waiting his decision.
Wheeler is a Huron lawyer, but is not the school district's lawyer. That job belongs to Rodney Freeman. Van Berkom says, according to Wheeler's statement, Freeman is attempting to make contact with Opsahl.
Pursuant to the board's instructions, our attorney, Rodney Freeman, is still attempting to get a new agreement from Mr. Opsahl, allowing us to release the agreement without a court order. So far, Mr. Opsahl has not agreed to that.
After reading Wheeler's statement on the Opsahl agreement, Van Berkom asked if any board members had comments, to which there were none. There is no timetable given as to when Erickson is expected to make a ruling on the issue. The State Office of Hearing Examiners ruled in late March of this year the district should release the agreement, which paid Opsahl nearly $174,000 over a 16-month period after Opsahl resigned as superintendent citing health reasons. The Huron School District was paying for both the former Superintendent Opsahl and current Superintendent Terry Nebelsack from March of 2011 through June of 2012. Huron is getting ready to grow, at least for a little while.
We're getting ready to have company here in town, and lots of it. And that's for the State Fair, which is going to be held August 28th through September 2nd.
Huron Mayor Paul Elward is asking residents and businesses in Huron to put their best foot forward as visitors from across South Dakota move in for the South Dakota State Fair.
Make sure that we have our welcome face out for all the people that are coming to town. We can make sure that all the weeds are pulled, and I see some growing up through our sidewalks and even the cities, and we need to get those taken care of, cleaned up. Try to make sure our lawns are mowed and look the best that we can look.
Huron's population exploded by nearly 192,000 for last year's state fair, and officials have been optimistic about attendance numbers reaching 200,000 for this year's event. And human West Nile virus cases continue to climb in South Dakota, and a health official is urging residents to protect themselves. The state has the highest number of human West Nile cases in the nation, as well as the highest number of the more serious neuroinvasive cases. That according to state epidemiologist Lon Keitlinger. As of last Monday, South Dakota had reported 21 human West Nile cases, followed by California with 18. 10 of South Dakota's cases were the more serious form.
More West Nile cases than Texas or California or some of the big states. And this is not new to South Dakota. In past years, too, we've had high numbers of West Nile all up and down the Great Plains. South Dakota, we're right in the bullseye for West Nile.
Brown County had the most human cases with 4, followed by Brookings County with 3.
That was what we had as of Monday night. We've had many more reports since then, so we'll be updating the beginning of next week with more cases. And the mosquito control people in the cities, they do a pretty good job of getting the center part of cities, but then on the edges and once you get out into the countryside, you know, there's really no mosquito control, so it's left up to each individual to use mosquito repellent and protect themselves.
Mosquitoes are currently at or near their peak for the season.
Into September, once the nights really start getting chillier and the days grow shorter, and then the mosquito becomes less hungry. But now we're right at the peak of it. August is always the worst month, so it's now that people need to really, really take precautions.
In addition to wearing mosquito repellents, Keitlinger says you should limit exposure by wearing pants and long sleeves in the evening. You should also limit time outdoors from dusk to midnight and get rid of standing water. That is local news on Dakota Country, 1210 KOKK. I'm News Director Zach Nelson reporting. News from across South Dakota is coming up.
News for Huron.
When you told somebody you're from Huron, they'd say, oh, too bad.
And now that attitude has really changed. People are saying, oh, there's a lot of great things going on in Huron.
And the surrounding area.
The garage was fully inflamed, and it looked like it was working its way through the attic. We established hose lines right away.
With 15-time Eric Severline Award-winning news director, Zach Nelson, only on Performance Radio.
And news across South Dakota, members of a South Dakota American Indian tribe head to the polls today to cast a vote that could fundamentally alter the tribe's social landscape. They're set to decide whether to allow the sale of alcohol on their reservation. Oglala Sioux tribe members are choosing whether to make Pine Ridge the last reservation in the state to end prohibition. Critics say legalization would only exacerbate the reservation's troubles. Alcohol is blamed for some of the highest rates of domestic abuse, suicide, infant mortality, unemployment, and violent crime in Indian country. But others say alcohol is reaching the reservation anyway from a nearby Nebraska town, so the tribe might as well enjoy the profits. Proceeds from the sale would be used for education, treatment centers, and detoxification, for which there is currently little or no funding. A task force on internet crimes against children has made two more arrests as a part of its investigation into sex trafficking at the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally. Federal, state, and Rapid City authorities say 42-year-old James Eugene Levry Jr. of Belle Fouche and 20-year-old Curtis Ray Austin of Rapid City have been arrested for solicitation of a minor. Last week, authorities arrested seven men on charges of trying to pay for sex with underage girls after responding to online classified ads placed during the rally. Officials say the men responded to the ads and then negotiated with undercover agents who were acting as pimps for 12 and 13-year-old girls. The U.S. Department of Agriculture says warmer temperatures are needed to advance crop development in South Dakota. In its weekly crop report, the USDA says winter wheat is 73% harvested, behind the 93% average and last year's completion by this date. Spring wheat is 21% harvested, well behind the 99% last year and 61% average. The condition is rated 2% very poor, 17% poor, 40% fair, 36% good, and 5% excellent. South Dakota saw precipitation across western and southern parts of the state, and topsoil moisture supplies were rated 3% very short, 28% short, 65% adequate, and 4% surplus. There were 5.3 days for field work. Pasture and range conditions are mostly fair to good. Governor Dennis Dugard says he probably will seek re-election next year. Dugard says he won't make a final decision on seeking re-election till later this year. He says his plans now are to seek a second term. He was a state senator for 6 years and lieutenant governor for 8 years under Mike Rounds before being elected governor in 2010. Meanwhile, Dugard says he expects a financially troubled South Dakota beef packing plant will eventually be bought and operated by a new owner. Northern Beef Packers in Aberdeen filed for bankruptcy protection last month and has asked a judge to allow it to hire an investment banking firm that is recommending a sale. The plan has laid off most of its employees and halted production. Dugard says he believes another packing company will buy the Aberdeen plant because it's already been built and has secured the permits needed to operate. And a contract to hold prisoners for the Bureau of Indian Affairs has led to a high number of inmates at the Yankton County Jail. The Sheriff's Department says the facility had a one-day record of 110 prisoners recently. The jail can handle up to 130. The jail has had to increase the use of part-time staff and increase supplies. The Sheriff's Office says that's offset by the revenue the BIA contract is bringing in. The Bureau paid the county about $100,000 for July, double what it paid in June. That is news from across South Dakota. I'm News Director Zach Nelson reporting.